Let me pray. I'll get us started, guys. Father, we love you.
And we just adore you. Thank you so much for men.
Men who are not without fault. Men who are got issues and struggles. But yet, we are passionately pursuing trying to be more who he wants to be. We pray, Father, that this time will help us to be. We love you. We trust you. Do as you please. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Listen, I'm Carlton, and just moved here to Tyler from Dallas, and been here for about 5 months. For the last 20 years, I worked with young people and their families, and graduated college here in Tyler called Texas College, and also spent some time on campus in Dallas a lot of the same year. The last 8 years, I spent in the ministry in Dallas called Mercy Street. We did mentoring. Trey. Yeah, so I was an associate executive director at Mercy Street. Mercy Street, the movement is kind of getting contagious, because what we do is, at Mercy Street, we partner with local schools and local churches to create mentoring relationships that impact kids and their families and involve them in long-term relationships. And so two churches here in Tyler, Grace Community Church, my name is Baptist Church, heard about that, started our own program called Gospel Village, and kept coming to us for consultation, and we just got to the point and said, you know what, we just need you to come on down. And so I was invited to come down. I told them no once. I was like, man, I'm not coming to Tyler, Texas to live. And are you serious? But I had a long passion in my heart for Tyler, Texas. And so they asked again, and I told them no. And just wasn't convinced yet. But God really led me to believe that there was something big going on. And if I didn't come, I would miss it. And it got to the point where I just felt like if I didn't come to Tyler, I'll be outside of his will. Oh. And so I came.
Good
so
choice.
My wife, huh?
Good choice.
Oh, okay. So my wife and I, we've been married for 11 years. My beautiful wife, Nina, sorry about the picture distortion. We've been married for 11 years. And in those 11 years, God has given us 5 awesome kids. My oldest is 9. This is LJ. LJ is a lacrosse player, a baseball player, a basketball player, just avid reader, just loves Jesus. Love his heart. And then I have Coleman. Coleman is a 6-year-old. And same thing, he plays basketball. He wants to be exactly like his big brother. Then I have Grayson. Grayson is my youngest son. Now, Grayson is 3. He's the one I'm fasting about. I'm telling you. He's just everywhere, all on top of stuff. I mean, he's interesting. And then I have... I can't describe it any other way. I have my first daughter, her name is Ayla, and Ayla means big vision or big eyes. It's a Hebrew name. Just awesome. She's a gymnast. She wants to be the next Gabby Douglas. And then we have our princess, little princess. She's 10 months. Her name is Najla. And Najla is an Arabic name, and her middle name is Yael, which is a Jewish name, and Obi, which is an African name. We just want to get people confused. Is that So hopefully it helps add life, you know. So I was thinking you guys from just 20 years of ministry experience, but also 10 years of working with my own kids, and some of this may be a refresher to you, some of this may be very fresh to you. But my hope is to be very real with you and very biblical with you. And my prayer is that something may ring a bell to kind of help you be more of a father that you're hoping to be, or that God wants you to be. That's the whole point of this session. So give me some grace, all right? All right. So let's go to the next slide. So we're talking about this idea of how to be a hero to your kids. And I was just watching the other day, and I was just thinking about what I was going to teach on and what I was going to talk to you guys about. And it just occurred to me that how many kids are just really longing for relationships and searching for something to be a part of, for something to belong to, for someone to follow. You see it every day in this idea of gangs. We have gangs here in Tyler. There's 16 different gangs in Tyler. 16 different games in town. I just read it. There's an August news report from the Tyler Morning News. They had a gang shooting 2013. The guy's on trial right now. And they report there's like 16 different gangs right here in Tyler. They're rolling 60, they have Hispanic gangs, the Aryan Brotherhood, they got all kinds of stuff. In fact, I brought the newspaper, news clip, and I'll leave it with y'all. Crazy. But you see also the number of girls that kind of get on Facebook and end up kind of looking for these online dating kind of chat kind of deals and get pulled off in some dark alley somewhere and raped and abused. I'm telling you, kids are looking for something to belong to, something to be a part of, something to follow. And then as they look, guys, what else is bothering me is the fact that there's just so many misguided models. So many people that are put out, that are held high, celebrities that don't possess a biblical worldview, don't have biblical values, but those of you that are highly esteemed, that are constantly put in front of our children. And so that's why I said, you know what, we need to have some heroes. Because the heroes, the people that are put in front of our children, are lacking. And the truth is this. Well, I don't want to get away with my point. Go to the next slide. So the question is, what does it mean to be a hero? You know, I think a lot of times you think about superhero, you think about Superman, you think about Batman, you know, whoever you grew up with. So you think about somebody who does the impossible because they have this impossible talent. And I want to tell you, if you're a parent, already you're a hero. The question is, do you choose to be that? I look at a hero as being someone who's willing to take on the challenge of God and their kids from where they are to where God wants them to be. And the truth is, if we don't be a hero for our kids, somebody else will, and we may not like how they turn out. So in my book, we don't have a choice but to be a hero. So my task is to try to guide you into what it looks like to be a hero for your children. And this could be for someone who's got one kid, two kids, no kids, respecting kids. Your kids are grown. There's still opportunity for you to be a hero. Divorced, blended families, not my children, adopted. You know, there's a unique, mentoring other kids. There's a unique opportunity for us to be a hero. And the idea is, are we going to take the challenge of guiding our kids from where they are to where God wants them to be? That's a hero. Go ahead. Some challenges we face. Come on, brother. Come on, help us out, brother. I'm just kidding, man.
He's taking notes. He's taking notes. He's recording. Where you going to take notes? He's running around for it. I give you notes.
No, I'm sorry. Guys, quickly, we got some guys here I work with. I didn't tell you what I currently do. I currently work with the Boys and Girls Club of East Texas. And, you know, you say the Boys and Girls Club, we didn't think about chaos kickball and cookies. You know, it's like, man, well, I see you in this session. But truthfully, this Boys and Girls Club is different than any other Boys and Girls Club. We are the only Christ in the Boys and Girls Club of all of them. We changed our charter, we changed our bylaws, everything to reflect a ministry that loves Jesus and is passionate about it and is emphatically living it out. No government funding, none of that. We are all about Jesus. And so that's the reason why I left Dallas. I left Dallas to run a program called Gospel Village. And we partner with local churches here to work with local schools to create mutually transformed relationships with mentors. So that's what I'm learning at this point, or lead, or a part of, or whatever. How do you want to say it? So that's what I do. So anyway, there's challenges that we face in trying to be a hero. One of them is parenting is just difficult. Anybody with kids knows that parenting is difficult, amen?
Amen.
I got five kids. And so I'm telling you, parenting is difficult because, you know, I'm trying to get up in the morning, spend time with the Lord. I get up at 5, somebody's up. I go to bed at 1, somebody doesn't got it. You know, I try to get up at 4, somebody uses the restroom on themselves. I'm telling you, it's just difficult trying to be a kid. I come home sometimes, and my wife homeschools, and
you know, after work, I come home and it's like trying to referee, you know, it's like, hold on, wait a minute. No, don't kick him. Okay, give him his pencil back. Okay, please put the stick down. I mean, are you serious? You just kicked him in the face. Are you really serious? The toilet is stopped up again. Wow. A whole roll of tissue down the toilet. I mean, are you serious? Okay, all right. Parenting is difficult. You know, it's like, you know, you teach this stuff, and then it's like going one after the other. It's like, then you go to church. You know, I thought they taught that in church. This is crazy. The other thing about being a hero is that some of us really don't know what to do when it comes to parenting. You know, they are starting to write books. There's books and stuff like that. But it's like, it's just for your kid, for your family. It's just not a handbook for you. And so it's just difficult. And then the third thing is, some of us just lack a plan. And so those are the challenges that we face. Okay, let's go to the next one. The other thing is, some of us tend to point our kids to some of these things. Money. What does it look like to point your kids towards money? What we do is, typically, we want our kids to get the best education. Why? So they can get the best job. Why? So they can make money. You know? Or beauty. You know, we buy our kids the nicest clothes. You know, we want them to look nice. We don't want to be embarrassed when our kids go somewhere. And by God, if you have a son, you better wear a shirt and tie every now and then. You know? Or fame. You know, I did a study about 20 years ago. You ask a kid what they want to be. They want to be a lawyer, a doctor, a teacher. Now you ask a kid what they want to be. They want to be an NBA star, an NFL star, they want to be a movie star, they want to be an artist. Fame. Some of us point our kids towards those things. But here's the deal. If we point our kids towards those money, power, fame, beauty, and that's all we point them towards, I think we miss the mark. If those are the major things that our life is about, if those are the things they see in us, those are major things that we harp on, and we don't end up T-pointing in any other direction, gentlemen, I tell you, we are missing the mark. A hero is one who is willing to take the challenge of taking a kid from where they are to where God wants them to be. So here's some steps to kind of becoming a hero. First of all, we need to have a biblical view of children. Psalms 127, verse 3. I love the New American Standard. I know some of y'all do the ESV. Y'all think it's stale, it's old. I like it because it's very literal. Bible man, like the literal translation. Okay, it's the only Bible I have. Okay, so anyway. Behold. All right. Anytime it says behold in the scriptures, like pay attention. It's like something is about to be said that's very important. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. When you look at that, I mean, it's just, it's powerful. When you think about the number of people who can't have children or who lose their children in the process of having children, and the fact that God chose you to have a son, have a daughter, or multiple sons and multiple daughters, I want you to know it's a blessing. And I won't get into birth control or all those kind of stuff. I'm telling you, if God gave you a child, he gave you a blessing. He gave you a gift. We need to see it that way. Children are not a burden. They're not an obstacle to you earning that house on the hill or the cars you want to drive or becoming financially secure. Children are a gift from the Lord. How do we know he says so? And we ought to see it that way. The second thing is, in order for us to be a hero for our children, to guide them from where they are to where God wants them to be, we need to have a vision or a mission for what we want to do with our kids. This is our personal hope for our kids. We tell our kids, hey, God has given you, you know, my LJ, all of them are different. LJ is smart. Coleman is very athletic.
Ayla is athletic and she sings, but not very well. You know, Grayson's all over the place, and Naj is just sweet as pie. But we tell them, hey, you know, whatever you do, wherever you are, whatever it is that you end up doing, our hope is that you will know God and use your gifts and talents to earn Him. That's our dream for our kids. That they will know God with a gnosko, an in-depth relationship with Him, where they've seen Christ work in their life and they trust Him holistically with who they are and all that they have, to the point where they use their gifts and talents to honor Him. It doesn't matter if they're a basketball player or if they're a custodian. It's what they do with what they have does it honor Christ. That's our dream for them. That's the vision. So my challenge to you would be on this piece, would be saying, what's your vision for your kids? And here it is. Is it a middle class vision or value or a dream? Or is it a biblical value, vision, dream? Answer it this way. Would God be pleased with how you set your kid up? By the way, I know how long all your kids are going to live. I just freaked y'all out. This black dude, I know I shouldn't have this. He's going to say something crazy. I knew it. Mm-hmm. They're going to live for eternity. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. So is the vision that you have for your kids, forget about you. I'm still wrestling with God. I don't know if I know if God is real or not. Your kids will spend eternity somewhere. And what are you doing? Where do you want them to go? How do you want them to spend eternity? What are you doing to push them towards that? What's your vision, your mission? How many of you are some kind of executive or some kind of decision maker on your job? Okay? How many of you make your own plans? You make it for your department. You kind of run your department with it. How many people are involved in strategic planning for their job? Okay, how is it that we can have a mission, a vision, goals, values, all that for our job, but nothing for our family? How is it that we can be on time and make sacrifices and take the time? We just scrapped our whole week and we got it lined up because we got this big project. We got to turn in our 3-year strategic plan. We got 3-year strategic plan, 5-year strategic plan, 20-year strategic plans for our jobs. How many of us have a plan for our family? Goals for our kids, a vision of what we hope they will be. Beyond being a starting pitcher, beyond being a football star, basketball. They break their leg, they break their neck, but then they know Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm just a little passionate. Number three. Go back. Okay. This is a good point here.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. Before we go any further, if we're going to get to being a hero, guys, we got to be willing to work a second shift.
Yep.
In other words, I'm like you. I work about 50 hours a week. I'm not going to lie. It's a sim line. I'm the director of a program. We're just getting off task. And we did a double merge. So check this out. We went from two organizations, two different programs, becoming one program, and I came in with a different program. Double merge. From two churches, under the Boys and Girls Club, and I come in with a whole new system, inherited two employees. One of them has left, went to another department. I hired two new people, about to hire a third, and we grew 100% all in 5 months. Mm-hmm. New car, new house, new city. Okay? It's been difficult. It's been rough. And there are times I want to come home and just take my shoes off. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cowboys, I thought we was going to go to the Super Bowl. Every Sunday I'm watching it, I'm watching the ESPN, CNN to check and see if they got some kind of report on Tony Romo's back. You know, I just want to just chill out. I'm sorry?
wishing, maybe you would think you were doing.
I thought that. I'm telling you, man, if we caught that ball, that was a catch. You know what? I would give you that. I would give you that. But they also missed several holding calls. Yeah. Passionate. I got the plays in my pocket. But anyway, the reality is this. You know, there's just times when I don't want to talk to my wife. If I can get some sex, that's cool. You know, but I'm just tired. You know, I don't work a blue collar job, so I don't work with my hands or my back like some of you guys may do. But I'm just mentally, emotionally drained. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like I made it to the house barely. And I live 3 minutes from the job. Dave, I live 3 minutes from the job?
3 minutes from the job.
3 minutes from the job. And I get in a Suburban and I can't even cut the car off. Seriously. But the reality is, my wife told me that she says, "Carl," and my Allison time gets later and later. My kids go to bed at 8. So if I come home at 6, I got 2 hours with my kids. Two. The later I come home, the less time I have with my kids. Now, I've been in ministry for 20 years, and I've seen some guys on their deathbed. And I heard a whole lot of guys say this. They never say, "I wish I'd spend more time on the job." You know what they will say? Somebody tell me. "I wish I'd spend more time on my kid. I wish I'd spend more time on my kid." So working the second shift is saying, "Hey, when I come home, I got no overtime." So my wife homeschools. She's 5 kids all day. She's 5 kids all day. Some of you have wives that work, and then you want her to take care of the kids and put them all down. She works like you do. Fellas, part of being a leader of our homes, part of being a hero, part of being a man, is we got to gear up our loins. We got to work a second shift. We got to do something different. Cut the TV off. And turn on your kids. And then talk to your wife. That's how you do it. Stuff goes on with your kids all day. And some of us never take time to help them understand and process what they've been going through. It's a rough world out there. I coach my kids in basketball. I'm not a basketball guru or anything. I just want to be closer to my kids and have them connect with other boys in the community. And I want to oversee that. That's why I coach. And I had a dad tell me the other day, he says, "Coach Obi, they're just mean to him. This kid's got a stuttering problem. Because he can't speak, he gets a little angry, and sometimes he just gets it by himself, so kids think he's just a mean. Kid is just fragile. They take advantage of it. But if he doesn't take our time to process this with his son's going to grow up being mean, angry, and at some point he's going to be able to express that. And it just may not be in the positive. You got to work the second shift. Some of you have teenage daughters, and there are vultures out there. And if you don't pay attention to them, believe me, somebody else will. You better work a second shift. I've seen men in my ministry make 6-7 figures, some of them. But they married to their job, and so therefore their wives leave. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's real because they don't want to work a second shift. Not at home.
They work all day for the boss man, or for the dollar. We gotta work a second shift. Sorry to beat that horse. All right.
So what does it practically look like? Let me give you some things that you can do, guys, some things. This is just stuff. Some of it comes from Josh McDowell. You can read his book, How to Be a Hero for Your Kid. I did not skip this whole session, believe me. But you can read that book. It'll give you some insight. I think he gives like 6 A's or something like that. I just want to give you some practical stuff that I, over the last 20 years, last 10 years of my kids, I've just kind of learned. So take these. So first of all, watch this. Psalms 119, Psalm 119, I think it is. He says that, let me get it for you. Hold on 1 second, I'm sorry. Psalms 119.
It's a long one.
I tell you what, I'll get it for you again, okay? But the idea is that we are uniquely and wonderfully made. Okay? All of us. And therefore, all of our kids are. Okay? And so, we have to treat every kid as that. And so, every kid deserves our time in a different way. Every kid deserves to be treated in a different way. Even though I'm not saying give them favors or anything like that, but I'm saying every kid is unique. And so, therefore, we have to approach them and deal with them in a unique way. Again, you heard me talk about my kids. One of them is a leader. You know, the other, he's just a leader. He's a reader. But Coleman is athletic. And so sometimes LJ gets jealous of Coleman. Coleman gets jealous of LJ. And I would tell them, hey, listen, God made you the way he made you. He made you special. He designed you the way he wanted you to be designed. And so be free in that. Have you sit down and had a conversation with him? You know, my daughter is beautiful as all get out. You know, she knows it. And I'm saying, look, sweetheart,
praise the Lord that Daddy gave you, God gave you beauty. But I want you to be as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside. Let's work on that, sweetheart. Let's work on your attitude. Let's work on your heart.
Can we do that? And Grace, I just don't have words for them.
It's just all over the place.
But every kid is different. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go to the next one. The other thing is staying power. This was very important. I did get this from Josh McDowell. He said, listen, 25 years ago, the way kids were, he talks about this idea of providing security, staying power. He said, 25 years ago, the way kids said, hey, I feel loved is because I had a mom and dad that loved me. That was 25 years ago. Now he said, there's just so much turmoil going on in houses. Even in a Christian church, we're up to 55% divorce rate. In the church. But we hear God's word. He says, today kids are just saying, hey, the way I see love, the way I feel secure, is that are my dad and mom gonna stay together? So the greatest thing you can do for your son or your daughter is to make the promise and keep it that you're gonna love your wife and stay with them until death do you part. There's so much inconstant, lack of constants around them. Consistency is what I was looking for. They need you to say, I'm going to stay. Part of being a man, part of being a hero, is that you stay. I'm not just talking outside of my mouth. When I was 12, my mom and dad took a break. They did not get a divorce. My dad got hooked up in drugs. And my mom, he had been a breadwinner for our family. My mom had not had to work. So what happened was she ended up getting a job as a custodian worker at a church. And just like it was Tony Evans' church. And I got saved at their church. She got saved as well. So when he got out of prison, she went back to him. I didn't understand why. I was kind of angry with my dad. She went back to him.
When I was 23, I'm teaching in Dallas and live with my parents. The next thing I know, my dad moves out of the house. He goes and lives with another woman. She prays for him night and day. She gets to fast for him and have us praying and fasting. And he came back. And they're together to say, 35 years of marriage. I asked her, I said, you know, I was going to break dad's window, I was going to pray for a bad, you know, what made you want to stay with somebody? Because you have biblical grounds for divorce, it's clear. She says, which way will God get the greater glory?
Yeah.
If I left him in his misery, or if I prayed for him and allowed him to make up his wrongs to me for the rest of his life. Which way does God get the greater glory? Which way gives you a better picture of marriage? If I left him, or if I was open to reconciling with him? Tell him, stay in power. I've seen it. The question is, are you willing to go through it? The reality is your kids need to see it. Let's go. Family over work. Family over work. You know, if you're in ministry, I want you to know your first ministry is your family. If you are in business, your first business priority is your family. So whether you work in a secular environment or whether you work for the Lord does not excuse you from loving your family and leading it well. And in doing so, that's how you be it. That's how you become a hero. Let me give you some practical example of this. Tony Evans told me a long time ago, he did this I was in an engineering class he had, and he said it from the pulpit. One thing he always has done is no matter who he meets with, no matter where he is, if his kids call him, he will answer the phone. If his wife calls him, he will answer the phone. Because he wanted to give them access to him. It doesn't matter who. There's nobody more important than his wife and his kids. In meetings, President Bush has been over the fellowship. His granddaughter Karis walks in the office, security and all. Because he wanted family to be more important than ministry. I would adopt that same philosophy. My wife and my kids come first. And just like I schedule appointments for business leaders and for million-dollar donors or for this person, that person, I schedule Monday lunch for my family. I go home for lunch. Some of you control your schedules. Have you ever thought about that? Dating your wife, picking up flowers for her and lunch, doing something out of the ordinary. How about getting up early before you're supposed to just spend time with your wife and your kids and pray with them? How about coming home early so you have more time to be with your kids before they go to sleep? How about making a promise to keep it so that you don't have to reschedule vacations or cancel them all together just because you got some business here? We're sitting all over the place. Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday because they honor the Lord. They've been blessed for being over 6 days and 7 days. And there's all kinds of examples. The question is, are you willing to become an example of what it looks like to make the sacrifice on the other end, not cheat your family, forgive your family, not give them your first fruits and not your leftovers? Family over ministry. Family over work. Here's something you gotta pay attention to, especially if you got kids. Do you talk to your kids? And can they understand that you're listening? I know I used to kind of be so tired that my kids would be talking to me and they could tell I wasn't listening. See, you can come and come, man, but you cannot kid a kid. They know when you're being for real with them. Are you listening to what they have to say? And does what they have to say matter to you? Are you communicating with them? Next one. The other thing is, we need to teach them God's truth, but teach them in a right and relevant way. the other day, just last night, we're studying Grace Community Church. We're doing they got this thing called 52 verses. We got a verse a week. We got a verse a week, and by the way, one of y'all can take one of these home. But anyway, it's this thing 52. There's that book. It's 1997. I'll give it to y'all's kids. We'll live there when you finish. But basically, 52 weeks of scripture. And every week we got another scripture. So the scripture for this week was Psalms 34, verse 8. And what you do every day, you just look at the same scripture, you try to memorize it, you're doing an observation, interpretation, application, you're praying for it, and there's a devotion. So we use this as our family devotion, okay? The whole church is doing this, and they preach on it on Sunday. I think it's awesome. So anyway, the verse this week is, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is one who takes refuge in him. So what I did was, okay, we talked about what does it mean, and I gave him ice cream. And I said, wait a minute, don't eat it yet. What do you think it's going to taste like? Oh, it's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. I can't wait. I said, now, as you eat it, and you taste the sweetness and the freshness, be reminded that's the same way God is. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's better than that ice cream you might enjoy. See, that's a very practical way. How creative are you with trying to give your kids a word? They make all kinds of books. They got all kinds of devotions. They got all kinds of stuff. Go buy one. Okay? If you'll email me, I'll give you a whole list of them. Your kids won't always be little. They're going to grow fast. By 12, their worldview is shaped, the way they see the world. The biblical worldview is shaped. And so from 12 on, you are repairing instead of preparing. Time is short, time is quick, time is fast. What are you doing to invest the word of God into your lives and kids? Next. I can ask my dad anything. All right, so check this out. You want to become the source of where your kids get the truth from. And so you want to establish with them early, hey, tell me anything, ask me anything, I will not be mad, you will not be in trouble. Ask me anything. Ask me about sex, ask me about gangs, ask me about my past, my history. Ask me anything. Why? Because if they don't ask you, you don't make them comfortable asking you, they're going to ask somebody else and get the wrong information. You want to set up where I can ask my daddy anything. And watch this. I don't know everything, huh? It's okay to say no. I don't know. What you can do is go find out. Go ask somebody. Call somebody. Internet. Google. But you want to create and allow your kid, hey, I am okay with you asking me anything. In fact, I want you to. I prefer.
When I was teaching school, I worked in a middle, middle learning center, and it was 4 through 6. And there were 6th graders discussing having abortions, and they said you can use coke to do it. 6th graders. Where did they get that information from? Who gave that to them? But that's what they believed wholeheartedly. What are your kids with? Do you know? Are you concerned? What are you going to find out? I can ask my dad anything. But watch this. Also, learn to ask your kids things. So that you can find out how they're doing. Let me give you some questions. Let me give you some stuff. Okay, here we go. What's the things that you enjoy most about life? What's been the things that embarrass you most? So when you ask them the things that they enjoy most, you kind of learn what they're passionate about and then keep doing it. You keep helping them with it. We ask them, hey, how have you been embarrassed? Or what hurts your heart? You know what not to. What is something fun that me and you have never done that you would love to do? My son told me the other day, Dad, I just would love to get a trampoline. So I can just jump. I can
to do a trampoline. I'm tired of jumping this thing anyway. Well, what is it that you're asking your kids trying to find? How about how was your day today? And be interested in what they have to say. And not being okay with it. It was good. What was good about it? Really? What did you learn in class today? What Bible verse did y'all go over in Sunday school? I mean, asking your kids, trying to find out what's going on. But creating a sense that you can talk to them about anything. Let's go to the next one. Looking for teachable moments. Looking for teachable moments. It's self-explanatory. But there was a, I got 100 of those. But just the other day, my son, he broke the, there's the microwave, there's a glass that turns, so you turn your food on. I don't know how he did that. He broke the glass. Now I got a bond with him. But the reality was, he was hungry, he got his food out of the microwave, grabbed the plate instead of the right plate, and he pulled the whole thing out, and it just crashed right in the middle. And so my wife's like, why did you do that? Hold on. It's still teachable thing. Son, why'd you do that? Did you have permission? Did you see what happens when you do things without permission? Okay. So do you think you should have done that? No, sir. Are you going to do it again? No, sir. Why? Let's see what happens. You see that? It's self-explanatory. I mean, everything doesn't have to be a spanking, a drop kick, a pin on this, to get them right. Especially as you get older. Learn to talk to your kids and help them to see the error of their ways and then give them a solution how they can do something different next time. Teachable moments. Thanks. That's it. Question? That's all I got right now, man. That's all. Was that helpful or nothing? Convicted, challenging. I ain't coming back no more. Any particular questions though while we're with y'all? Any thoughts, comments?
Yeah, any thoughts on that? We got one particular daughter who's you talk about asking questions and she'll stonewall. I mean, great kid.
Mm-hmm.
She's 9.
Yeah.
So great. She's got a really sweet heart, but sometimes I think she gets it from me, like. She won't let her emotions out.
Yeah.
And something's going on in there, but she'll stonewall, particularly my wife.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on how to get her to open up? You can sit there and ask her thought-provoking questions or try and pull things out of her all day long. But sometimes it's just like, and then it's just World War III between my wife and her because she's trying to get something to come out, but you don't know what's going on inside her head.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I know it's going to sound really, really, really routine, but I just really believe that God can change things. So I would ask, have you and your wife prayed about it? I mean, first.
Yes.
Have y'all?
No, we pray for them, not together, but we pray for our kids individually.
Okay. Have y'all prayed for that specific deal?
No.
Okay. So that would be our first thing. The Bible says, and I believe this, Kevin, the Word of God is living, active. The Word of God, He says, creation for nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, make our requests known to the Lord. Then it says, pray not ceasing. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace. He invites us to pray. Okay? And we're praying to the one who knows about what's going on and can do all things about it. He can do far more than we can even ask or think. But yet, we don't even petition Him for things that's going on in our life. That's why I say we pray about it. The reason why is because I've seen God do some crazy things in my life when we pray. I mean, we need a car. I prayed for a car. What I wanted was getting a car. In vivid. It was a 2000. It was 2010. But that was okay. It was free. So I'm just saying, God can do far more than we can even imagine. And I didn't ask for a car. Not for that. I just said we need a car. You see what I'm saying? So pray about it, first of all. The second thing is, one of y'all may have a better relationship with her. Okay? So in other words, if your wife and her are like he did, and then you're saying she reminds me of myself, I'm going to try to find some intimate time to have a conversation with her and kind of say, you know what? You kind of like dad sometimes, you know? And I see the error of my ways.
And I just want you to let you know that's not good. You know, so expressing your thought in it. You know what I'm saying to her? Sometimes we play like perfect to our kids. And our kids think we're hypocrites. Yep. And so we got to be willing to come down off the mountain to let them know about some of the mistakes that we made or make constantly. Yep. And that creates a sense of believability and reality with them. Oh, wow. You had sex before marriage? Oh. Now, babe, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you what dad did, and it was a grave mistake. This is why I want you to be sexually pure. You don't want the same hurt that I am. Oh, so now I see why. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Okay, so try that. We'll see. I'll be praying as well. Okay, Nate, you may know that? No. Yes, sir.
Do you, five kids, the big schedule.
Five kids, man.
Do you have intentional one-on-one time with your kids? And if so, what does that look like?
Absolutely.
For how long?
Absolutely. How long? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad you asked it. That was one of my points that I didn't get on the screen. Okay, so what we try to do is once a week take one kid, okay, and it just rotates. And it could be, well, okay, I do a lot of different things. So that's why I ask kind of like, what y'all job? So sometimes I go meet with donors, I take one of my kids, and I'll teach them how to be a man. So I'll hey, shake hands, look them in the eye. All my kids do this. My daughter, she loves it. Hi, I'm Ayla, how are you? You know, and they're like, wow. Shake hands, look them in the eye. Say hello, how you doing? Teach them how to engage. You got a 1 minute elevator speech about who you are, what you want to do, what you, all of them. You know what I'm saying? So that's one way. Just kind of take them with me on business and different things like that, if it's appropriate. You know, I'm going to go see something, you know, I'm going to go look at a venue or something for something. It gives me a chance to have lunch with them. And I try to take a different kid. I'll take the boys. And I'll take the girls. They have a daddy dog dance for February. So we're going to that. She's driving the car from my house. So I'm going to take my oldest daughter. And then my wife is going to take my two sons, my two oldest sons, to that. But you're talking about individual. So birthdays, we do individual birthdays. In fact, I take off work. My boss is just like, wow, you better not have any more kids. I take off all days. I got it up in front. We return in January 2nd or 3rd. All the days for all my kids' birthdays. My wife's birthday. My birthday. I just took off. Because we want to establish that you're important. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's scheduled already. So I told my boss for me, I'm not doing nothing on my kids' birthday. Don't ask me. Mondays is a chance for me to either let my wife go with one of the kids, let her go by herself, or I'll go get somebody to watch the kids, and I'll take my wife somewhere on a Monday. This is why it kills me, because sometimes we have meetings that go over on Monday, and I'm like, man, it's just not good, because I'm trying to create something with my family. When I get off, sometimes I'll take different ones to the store, just because, hey, can you pick up some eggs or something? Those are just some practical examples.
Okay.
Yeah. So just anytime I can do something one-on-one, I will. But I think there's just different things you can do that don't also have to be more. You can do guy time. You can do girl time. Yeah. Birthdays, all kinds of stuff. We just try to go crazy. But the schedule, like you asked, Mark, I answer the question. You never answer this question. Once a week, I try to take somebody different somewhere. Okay? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question.
Please do.
Deal specifically about this. I applaud you for what you're doing.
Oh,
and I applaud you for what you're doing in your family. And I applaud you for being a role model, especially in the black population.
Thank you.
So I asked this question. With statistics,
We're
7 out of 10 children that are born today in black families are out of wedlock, which is a very difficult problem, and there are probably a lot of people making answers, and we know that it's probably a sin problem and a spiritual problem in a sense. What do you see in the future? And this is not a black problem, it's a black and white problem, it's a human problem, but it's probably a little more distinct in the black population, sadly enough. What do you see as the future, and what do you see as the answer? And are we going to be able, is this a progressive thing that you're going to see more and more children born, as you said, without two parents? And you know, what are we going to see in the future that you see? And I know you can't have a whole answer yourself, but you can be part of the solution for what you can do and what you can reach out as far as locally. But as you're dealing with these 16 gangs that you're dealing with in Tyler, how do you teach these kids responsibility and teach them, you know, the importance when you bring a life into the world that you're responsible for that?
Yeah, yeah. You know what? The question asked is my burden. It is why I do what I do. It is why I'm really trying to make what we do transferable into other communities, every context. You know, Tony Evans has an adopted school program for the local church. We're kind of doing the same model, a little differently. You know, you ask a tough question in terms of what do I see. You know, the reality is, I see it getting worse. I'm praying it doesn't. Okay. You know, we're talking to people in Longview. We're talking to people in Lufkin. There's programs jumping up in Alabama, Houston. So to answer your question, what I'm praying about is God's word being true. When there is fatherlessness, that God's word says, I'll be a father for the fatherless and mother to the motherless. So that whether it's adoption, whether it is people getting married, whether and redeeming the situation, whether it's people really listening to God's word and living it out, meaning that they don't have babies before they get married. Those are solutions that I see. To be honest, I don't know how fast we can be. I don't know how we can turn it around. Other than, I don't think it's a government problem. I don't think it's the mother all by herself. I think it's a kingdom issue. I think it's a church issue. And
I think it is. excuse me. I gotta get it right. I just set myself up. I missed the call. Now you know what phone
is? Somewhere.
Let me just check real quick.
No, that's somebody. Alright, so this is not my wife. I'm not worried about it.
Sorry.
She's in Colorado. So without money. That's all it is. She lost her check card. Anyway. Oh, she's got American Express, though. Anyway, she's okay. But, it's just my burden, man. I really like to say it different. And, first of all, I love to see the church get involved. I love to see what happens with that is, I think a lot of people kind of talk about the idea of working with poverty, low income, low session. Look, Matthew 28 says, make disciples. So the question is, who are you discipling? Who's discipling you? And this is an opportunity, this mentoring, this walking life on life with another family is a way to live out the Great Commission. Are you willing to do it? I would challenge the men in here to deal with their churches and see what they're doing and adopt a local school. You know? And it's not just the men, your whole family, because when you adopt a little boy, that little boy has a mom, your wife can walk with the mom in sisterhood, and then you can walk with the young boy and show him how to be a man, then you got Titus 2 going on. The older men teach the younger men how to be women, the older women teach the younger women how to be women, and that's biblical. And we gotta do it. So we gotta stop talking about the word and live the word. We gotta be about it. And not just talk about it. That's my prayer. And so think about it. You know, I'd love to see some men here kind of go back. You know, that's a part of your mission. You know, your mission is pastor. Y'all want to kind of do some good in your neighborhoods? You want to make a difference? It's a shame that churches can be in situations and in places, and if they close their doors, nobody will know that they even existed.
Right.
We got to have some impact in our community. You got to stop just worshiping on Sunday. Go home Monday through Saturday and just don't do anything with the Bible or with the Word. We just study on Sunday. We come reaches. We need to let it out. They're not like shouting for men so they see other works and glorify the Father. God wants to use us to reach others. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 21. We need to read that again. We are His ambassadors. I'm sorry. That's what I was saying.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
So you kind of talk about parents and fathers and figure to be intentional with their kids.
Yeah.
You know, but what about, how can we be intentional with training our kids to train, like, you know, siblings? Like, did you see in your family where the older kind of, you know, you're intentionally helping them become a leader and then teaching the ones behind? Is that something that, you know, are there ways to help encourage that?
Great question. Great question. First of all, it's a natural deal in our deal because we have an older kid and all that needs that. And so I think there's a both end. You want to kind of teach responsibility. So practically, my son at 9 knows how to wash dishes. He knows how to sweep the floor. He knows how to cook basic meals such as hot dogs and sandwiches and stuff like that. But he also, we teach the idea of I'm third. So God first, others second, and last. So the way we serve each other, somebody sets the table, everybody has a role and responsibility to make this family work. So my oldest son, he washes dishes. My youngest son sweeps the floor. My daughter wipes off the table. My youngest son puts his plate in the sink and throws his stuff in the trash. My daughter, she just can't do it anymore. She's 10 months. And then what we do is we constantly train them to do the next job. So then the middle son washes dishes. The oldest son gets a chance to sweep the floor. The daughter, you know what I'm saying? So they have chores. But that idea of serving each other is big because that's something you want to create in your heart. The heart of a kid is the idea of giving back. So Jesus came to serve and not to be served. He gave life as a ransom. We teach, we say MT 45, Mark 10 45. So are you living an MT 45 lifestyle? Or are you willing to serve? Because Jesus came to serve and give his life as a ransom. We want to be like Jesus, but it's always serve. So that's what we teach that. But yeah, it's just something that's necessary and practical in our house, and we have to have that. Now, on the negative side, you can give your kid too much leeway, but I think sometimes my wife does. So, Paul, I think he does stuff that only adults should do. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes she'll go to sleep and leave them up. And I just think, with the little one, he doesn't have the authority to tell the little one to stop doing certain things. So he's done stuff like pull a butcher knife out of the... He's just all over the place. So there's just been stuff like that where I think you can give your kid too much money. And then my dad started being tired. He told everybody what to do. And I said, LG, you're not his father. I am. Well, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Okay, I'll do it. I'm at home now. So I think he can get in that mode to where he's always having to be kind of like a little peer in a sense. So that's kind of, you want to watch that and kind of balance it out. So teach responsibility with humility and how we serve. Servant leadership. This is what I lead my people. It's the guy I try to teach at home. There's a book called Servant Leadership. The guy who wrote The One Man Manager, he writes a book on servant leadership. Jesus, it's called Jesus Leadership. Lead like Jesus. So that's something that I think the principles can be applied not only to you personally, how you lead at work, but how you lead your home. And you can teach that to other people in your home.
I recommend John Maxwell.
Okay, that's not John Maxwell. Maxwell.
Ken Blanchard.
Maxwell is my guy, man. I love Maxwell. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
And don't you think a lot of us, kids today, and I'll say this because we see a lot, is, you know, violent movies, violent video games, and music that just is just singing about just
anything,
spewing trash.
Anything. Corruption. Anything. Yeah. I think that's some of it, you know. I mean, there's just all kind of things that our kids, it's the world in general, just that we live in, and how it's going more and more to the left, so to speak. And, you know, but I think it's a parent's job to control the influence on their kids. And that's why I think we got to be paying attention. We got to be asking questions. We should be looking at it. Let me give some practical things. Do you look at your kid's phone? To see what kind of text message they send.
My 10-year-old girl wants a phone for that man.
Right.
What does she need a phone?
Facebook.
No.
Thank you, brother. Sorry, we so
no,
much.
No, I didn't
Okay. Sorry.
Still listening.
Sorry. And we can end the session. I can stay out. I mean, are we old, man?
No, you're good.
Oh, okay.
See, some of her friends had a phone, but she's like,
yeah.
Why can't I have a phone?
Yeah.
You're not never away from it. You don't get one.
Right.
When can I get a phone? 16?
Yeah. And I would even do it to the point where a person, there's a clear standard behind you earn a service, particularly the phone. How do you earn a phone? Is it grades? Is it good behavior? Is it good attitude? How do you earn some of these things that you want versus you just giving some? You're not entitled to any of it.
Right.
You know?
There's a certain age where they're going to, it's the age where they may have to stay after school for extracurricular
activities. That's it. That's it.
Which is where you're going to have a debate as to whether you want them to have a phone or not.
That's it.
That's 12. These days, it's the point where they hit, you know, middle school or junior high. The thing is, put boundaries around it. You know, there are apps that you can put on there and, you know, redirect texts to your phone and other things. You got to decide what, you know, where those boundaries are at.
Well, we're homeschooling.
I homeschool too. But I would also say to you as well, you know, your kids should never be anywhere where they're not supposed to. I mean, that's the kind of relationship you want to have. You know, that I know where you are at all times. It doesn't mean that you don't need a phone.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, and I don't do certain things. Like I've worked with teenagers, I'm college students, and I have my own kids now. So I'm just seeing my kind of stuff, like what you're saying. But I'm just saying, some stuff I just don't do. So, like, when it's time for my kids won't date. You know, I mean, when they get. I want to see some courtship going on towards marriage. And that's what I'm doing. I've seen so many hearts being broken, so many girls being taken advantage of, so many guys losing their virginity. It's just so like stuff like dating, the group dating, you know, the little brother. Oh man, there's this beautiful, beautiful Hispanic girl that's in our community. Beautiful. She, man, undocumented, didn't have any money for college, got a scholarship, went to Texas A&M, you know. Joined the Corps just to have somewhere place to stay. I mean, just stayed, just awesome. Graduated, got a $60,000 job, so she graduated. I asked him, like, why are you so successful? And it's been her dad, just been living her life, you know. Well, she's been dating this guy. Whenever they're going to date one of the brothers or little sister to go with them. He comes up to the house. It's like 10 o'clock, the boy's got to go home. And everything's like 9. I mean, she's like 22, 23 now. It's still the same thing until she gets married. And I just think we just gotta be men and man enough to kind of look at our kids and kind of create, like you said, some boundaries. But I just thought that was so awesome. Every kid that wants to date my daughter, I mean, he has to come through me. I mean, I'm cleaning my gun. I'm showing my guys. I'm inviting my crazy friends over. I mean, it's gonna be serious, you know. But they're not dating like 12 and 13. I gotta keep those stuff where they're going to the prom and just put them in environments for seeing the happen. You know, I just decide that's not what we're running.
What's your job as a protector too?
Yeah, that's absolutely. You're the protector at home. Priest, protector, you're the pastor of your home, you're the pleaser of your wife, and you're the pal. I mean, it's all those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Anybody else? Anything?
Yes, sir. So that I told my grandkids, you're my hero.
Mm.
You're my superhero.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what is a superhero? They don't tell me. It's certain powers, does things that nobody else can do. I said, you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I give an example. Things I've done that nobody else can do. He said, now that I've been to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And my 8-year-old grandson helped lead his 6-year-old sister to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, guys, how about this? I'll give you this. My email address is Carlton, CARLTON, Carlton.OBY, at bgceasttexas.com. That's 2 T's. Carlton.OBY at bgceasttexas.com. Please feel free to email me.
TX or?
Texas spelled out. Please feel free to email me any more questions. But also, I'd love to know how to be praying for you. Each and every one of you. If you feel like there's something, then that's okay with you. I don't want to force you to that. And then come out and visit. We're in Tyler. Every time you buy, we'd love to have you buy. But what I want to do is I want to pray for you.
And I want to let the men that need to go to make sense to go. And everybody wants to stay out there as long as necessary. That's the question. Is that fair? Okay. Carlton, CARLTON.OE at Boys and Girls Club, so BGC, easttexas.com.
It's in the blurb.
Oh, it's in there? Okay. Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Thank you. Sorry. Oh, some of y'all are small.
Yeah,
read this one.
It's got a dot. It's got a dot V at the end, though. Is that a typo?
Yeah, that's a typo. It should be that dot V at the end.
So if y'all are looking in here, you're going to dot V at the end.
All right. So any particular prayer requests, I pray for you guys. And let's just be real. Any marriages on the rocks? Anybody, daughter, wayward? Son, locked up? Newborn on the way.
Yeah. March.
Huh?
March 1st.
March 1st. Okay. Anybody else? Yes.
I want to ask for prayer. My son struggles with fear. I don't know where it comes
from. Mine does too.
Big time, and I don't understand or comprehend it, and I need God's help.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll share that prayer. I'll be praying for you right now, but I'll keep praying for you. My son called the same way. He can't go to the bathroom by himself. He's like, what are you talking about? Take the trash out. And why? Because I said so. It's so dark. It's right there. What are you talking about? I mean, it frustrates me. Like, yeah, be a man. Right. But then I got to calm down. He's always six. Help me, Jesus. Yes, sir.
I got two that are struggling with either it's a brain thing or autism. And they're really struggling with getting connected with people. So
Yeah.
And what we do, they don't like support.
Right. That's tough. That's real tough, especially when you have a particular thing they don't. That's real tough. I will tell you, one, to be praying, and it's just not one day. We need to be praying now. But two, learn something new by exposing yourself to something they like doing. You see what I'm saying? So you go out of it. Now, thank you for it. Tell me your name.
Mark.
Doug, Ben. Father, we come here right now. I'm praying for my brothers, Mark, Doug, and Ben. What a joy it is to have a newborn on the way. Your word says the fruit of the womb is a reward. Children are a gift from you, heritage from you. So we praise your name for that. We pray. We know that you've not given us a spirit of fear. We know that. That they come from you, so we pray for courage for our young men. Both of our sons, we pray for whatever's going on with the brain, this gentleman's kids, and we pray that you'll heal. If it's your will, that you will restore, that you will even make them better than what they was before this even arose. We pray for any financial issues that creates, we're getting them seen, we're getting them taken care of. We pray the doctors will diagnose them properly. We pray that you guide their hands. We pray for his heart to try to connect with his kids, Lord. We pray that he will be flexible and elastic, willing to stretch out to reach his kids. I pray for every man in this room. I pray that first of all they would know you and be committed to that you know. I pray that you will show them you. And what you've never shown before. Pray we all will be awesome husbands, that our first ministry, our first business opportunity, our first job will be our homes, that our families will get the first fruits and not the leftovers, and that you will convict us and challenge us when we do. We love you, we trust you, we honor you. In your son Jesus Christ's name, we all say,
Amen. Amen.